I'm safe and improvement.
No?
Okay. It's totally unavailable.
Okay, this is considered, this is shear three. Shear three, out of seven. So, Rabbi Hoffman says as follows. He says that from the time that a baby is born, he is pa'il, meaning he's active, he wants to do things, and he's not passive. He's moving his hands, his legs, he's crying, he's kicking, he's screaming. He has energy that he wants to let out. And he has a body, and he has senses, and he has seichel, and he has yitzarim, and imagination. And this energy works with the child, and it needs to be, but it's not navigated in any particular way. Children have energy, but they kind of just use it however they feel. There's no, they don't navigate that energy to anything positive. And therefore, he explains that energy has different aspects to it and different parts to it, and it needs to manifest itself in different ways. Some children scream more. Some children cry more. Others move their body more. Each child moves their body and does things with their energy in different ways. And one is born with, you know, greater ability to see. One has a greater ability to hear. And children have different, you know, one plays dolls and this one plays with Lego. It's all about how they use their energy. That's
Lego. I found the spot.
That's it's all about how they use their energy. So what's chinuch? What's chinuch? So he says chinuch is the ze sheminasim lahargilas hayelav asos pulos tachlusios. The definition of education is to teach a child to take their energy and to use it purposefully. That is his definition of chinuch. So if the child is screaming, so you teach him that you don't just stop scream, but you speak in a way with nachas. When he gets older, he knows when he's supposed to scream, when he's supposed to speak nicely. But a child, a baby, doesn't know how to not scream without any reason. And you begin to teach him properly. You teach him how to use his voice, to see a lot of Moshe, and to use his energy in the proper way. Child eats, right? So you teach him how to eat, with manners, what to eat, not to make himself dirty. You take that energy, and he uses that energy in a purposeful way. The child scribbles. So you teach him not just to scribble, but you teach him how to make a tree, and how to make a ball, and draw a dog, and you route all of that scribbling into show him how to make something that's positive and to use that energy in that in a positive way. And a child jumps, and you teach him, there are times you don't jump when you're in shul, you don't jump on the chairs in shul, you jump when you do play. And you teach him how to use all of his movements and his energy and his processes in a constructive way. Again, chinuch, hakavana shata mirasen esapu'ulos v'nosein lezeh matara v'tachlis. The intention is that you restrain your actions and you give them a purpose and meaningful. That's the definition of chinuch. And therefore, we need to make pleasant and we need to give opportunities and a proper foundation for children to be able to take these different parts of them and to use them in the proper way. So he says, for example, he says, it takes a long time in order to learn how to organize your brain and your head properly. How to solve a problem, how to see a problem, how to analyze something. He says, a person sees, you know, a contradiction and they don't know how to resolve the contradiction. So now you're older, you know how to ask a question, to give a teretz, a kasha, answer it, meaning you organized your mind to learn how to work in an organized and functional way. You don't just have random thoughts pop into your head and do whatever you say. You learn how to manage these things properly. That takes a lot of years. So he says a person is a complex machine. We're complex people. And it takes time and energy to learn how to organize ourselves. He says, zehu chinuch, that is chinuch. So he says, now let me show you a Tosfos in Nazir. That chinuch is about ase tov and not sur meira. And that's his next point about chinuch. Chinuch is not about not doing things. Don't go here. Don't say this. Don't eat that. It's rather about acting in a positive. Tosfos writes in Nazir, and daf chav ches on the base. T'chinuch lo shayach, that's the first source from last month. T'chinuch lo shayach, ela lehazhiro la'asos ulekayem mitzvah. Chinuch is only to teach child how to do a mitzvah. Aval lahazhir mila'avor ein zechinuch. Says Tosfos, it is not the mitzvah chinuch to stop a child from doing an aveira. There's a place for that. But that's not the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch is to act in a positive way, how to use one's abilities to serve Hashem positively. To tell a child, don't move, don't do this, be quiet, you know, don't make any noise. So you might teach him how to control himself, but that's not chinuch. You've taught him how to not do something, but that's not the mitzvah of chinuch. Because chinuch is about what to do and how to do things and how to do them in an organized way. So they said, they asked the Chedusha Harim, what's pshat in this Tosos? Because it says in the Pasuk, Sur Meira, and then it says, Aseh Tov, right? So obviously, they must work together. So the Chedusha Harim said that, Atem Yodim Eich Magiyim L'Sur Meira Ad Aseh Tov. The way that you get to Sur Meira is through Aseh Tov. You will learn how to avoid doing the wrong thing by channeling your energy to do the right thing. And that, he says, is this Tosos.
Isn't the Pasuk a little bit not like that? Because it says Sur Meira De'aseh Tov, right?
Yeah.
That you're going to do Sur Meira first, so, and then you go to Aseh Tov.
So the Chiddush Harim is saying is that how do you come to Sur Meira? By doing Aseh Tov. Meaning, the Pasuk is teaching itself. A person says, how do I do Sur Meira? How do I say from bad things? The answer is Aseh Tov. You channel that energy to do positive things. So he says, the Sod HaChinuch, again, is to habituate ourselves in the positive way, to take our natural kochos of a person, and to route them, and to give them a design in a constructive fashion. That's opening part number one. Part number two. He talks about children who are Matsurim Lo Tiviyim, what we'd call children who have unnatural restraints, children who are not active. They're not doing anything. They're just not, they're sitting and doing nothing. But maybe they're not behaving the way children should. Why is that children sometimes seem unnaturally restrained? They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Either they're afraid, they're embarrassed, they're lazy, they're depressed. So he says that if you have a child who you would call lazy, an Aslan, so people say about this child, his nature is that he's lazy. He says he doesn't do anything, he doesn't move, he's just a lazy child. He says there's no such thing. It's a mistake. If you have a child and you think he's lazy, that's not what it means. He says a person in their nature wants to move. You have energy that needs to get out. And he has energy that needs to be manifest in some way. And if he's not moving, that tells us that it is mutsarim lo tiviyim. It's an unnatural restraint. There's something there that's preventing him from acting properly. So he says, drishas mufuzaros. What's the problem? Often, a child is acting restrained unnaturally because there's too much demanded of him. What happens when you ask of a child to do something that he can't do? Or what happens when a child is afraid too much? And everything you think, everything he has to do with Gehenim and the police and you're going to go to jail and everything is in the negative. Or what happens to a child that you pressure him too much? What's going to happen is that he's going to be pushed too much, or he's not going to use his kochos. And obviously it depends on the individual child, because every child has things that are easy for him and things that are more difficult for them. There are things that are easier for them to do with more effort and things that are harder to do with, you know, more effort as well. But the point is, quote, Ze she'ata lo chetz al hayeled yoser midai. He said most often a child will shut down and not perform because too much is being asked of the child. He says in a natural way, there's two possibilities. Either you're going to break the child and he's going to become depressed, or he's going to become resentful and he's going to go against you if there's too much pressure. He says it's like a kapitz, it's like a spring. If you more you push on the spring, the more it's either going to break or it's going to push back against you. And that's how the child works. The Ramban says, I don't know where this Ramban is, but the Ramban says that most people, if they are pressured against authority, so only a third of them, you know, like they're going to break. They're going to break and they're going to humble themselves. So he says there's different types. He says, yesh tipus, there's a type that through the pressure, he's going to become resentful, he's going to have a snagdus, he's going to push back against you. And he jumps and he's going to run away and he's going to look for other paths and he's going to find other ways to get his energy out, whether with chutzpah or rebelling. There's other type is that through the pressure, you're going to break the child and he's going to cause depression. And the pressure is going to weaken him and it's going to break him and he's just not going to be interested. And it becomes overwhelmed and therefore becomes too embarrassed, too afraid, too scared, and it creates all of these unnatural restraints inside the child. So about these unnatural restraints, he says that each person has a different way that they open up, that different things, different parts of them will create unnatural restraints. Sometimes a person will become overly sensitive if there's too much pressure on them. They'll become very quiet. They'll become scared. They won't participate in class anymore. They, even if they know the answer, they won't raise their hand because they think that everything they do is not good. I can't compete. Everyone is better than me. I'm not able to participate. He becomes to be embarrassed. Everyone knows more than me. I don't know enough. And all these things he begins to give up because of depression. Begins to close himself up. He becomes scared of everything. And he becomes certain that if he does anything, anything he does is going to be wrong. People are going to yell at me. People are going to tell me that I can't. I'm making a mistake. V'kach niyeh passivi. And therefore the child becomes passive. Because everything seems to be against him. And therefore he's not interested in participating. He records over here that sometimes Rosh Shlomo Hoffman would speak about, this is an Eretz Yisrael expression, of a Yeled Tov Yerushalayim. A Yeled Tov Yerushalayim means a good boy. A good boy who does everything they're supposed to do. So he says people think that's a positive. They describe a boy, he's a Yeled Tov Yerushalayim. It means he's a good Yerushalmi boy who does exactly as he's supposed to do. But he says that's not a good thing. If you have a child like that who simply goes along and he has no energy and he puts no activity into anything and he simply has no personality on his own, what it means, he says, I will tell you most of the time, is that there's something wrong. A child has energy, he needs to get, he needs to do, he needs to push, he needs to challenge, he needs to be active. And if he just sits there and does nothing all day and does and goes exactly what's supposed to be done, then he says, something's not right. If there's no give on the child and the child is simply just does everything he's supposed to do and simply plops along and looks like a zombie, it probably means that he is a zombie, that there's something not right with that kid. So, Rabbi Hoffman will go on to say, now don't think that every single child is broken or depressed or rebels, that's what their situation is. Every single time that you have this with a child, it means that this is what's going on. There are obviously going to be extreme situations. He says the pressure has to be too much, a lot, a really something intense. Not saying we can't demand anything of our children, but we're talking about something that's way, way off, a lot of pressure. Now he says this doesn't, come from birth. It can have other netios that they have because of the pressure. He has a certain surah, and inside something comes from the outside. But he says all these things come from the outside, eventually come to this thing of either the rebellion or the child shuts down. Okay. So he says, regarding this idea of having, too much demands on a child, that bederech chlal, it depends on the parents, okay? And the parents won't admit. The parents won't admit when they're doing too much. And he says, in parentheses here, sometimes also the mashkichim. The mashkichim in the yeshivas also think that everything is bittul Torah and he's wasting time and pressure, and that's also a mistake. He says the parents often want more for the child and they push the child, either because you're a shemayim, what are you doing, you're playing ball, you're wasting time, bittul Torah, and it comes from frumkeit, or it comes because of kavod, that the father's very ambitious and he wants to say, look at my chashuv child, what they're accomplishing, what they're doing, how good they're doing in school, and that's the other issue as well. And therefore, if a child wants to play and the parents are pressuring him and he's making them, everyone upset, and they think that he's wasting his time. So there's many parents that they have dreams from the child more than the child is capable of doing. And they say to the child, my child is a chacham, he's a bal kishron, how could he waste so much time? How is he going to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish? Thank you. How can he do all these things? And he says the parents have to be aware. Are you putting things on your child that they're incapable of doing?
That's the disease, is really what's everyone going to think about? That's the disease.
Yeah.
Shidduch.
Kavod.
It's more than shidduch. Because even though it's not a boy, which is not much of a shidduch issue, they're still worried. If he does this, what's the world going to think about me? What's the world going to think about my child?
Yes. The siblings, the girls.
Yeah.
That's kavod. The disease.
Yeah. It is a problem. So, and then we put too much pressure on the children. So then he tells the story with Rav Shach. Always good stories with Rav Shach. He says, I was once by Rav Shach. There was a Talmid Chacham there who came for advice, and he had a boy who was 5, and the Mora was telling the child that he's ready to go to real school, and he doesn't know if he should wait or not. So Rav Shach asked the father, and what's going to happen if he waits another year, and you don't send him to, you know, like real yeshiva. So the father said, he's going to stay at home, he's going to waste his time, he's not going to be with the class. You know, also, what is he doing in, like, with the Mora? Is he singing? He's learning, like, ABCs. He's learning how to dance. He should be in yeshiva. It's time to really start learning. And so Rav Shach said to the father, why are you so interested in, you know, pushing your child for another year if he's happy? Meaning, your child's happy in school. He's learning nicely. He's doing okay. But so another year of not intensive learning? Now what's going to happen? He'll be a well-rounded child. He didn't see the point of pressing too much. So Rabbi Hoffman says, he tells the Hawks about himself. He says, Kishayisiel, when I was a boy, he said, I knew all of Akdamos Baal Peh. Okay? It's pretty good, right?
When he was a Taz Nassav.
That's what he said. He says, when he was a boy, he knew all of Akdamos Baal Peh. So I was once by my grandfather, and a number of Rabbanim were there visiting him, and he wanted to test me. And I did a good job. I showed them that I knew all about Thomas. And he was he had such kavod from the fact that I did this. He took out a coin and he gave it to me as a gift that I did this. So he said, and obviously he's speaking to this point, meaning that wasn't for me. My grandfather did it for him, that he got kavod out of me putting on the show. And he says, how many parents pressure their children because of their own kavod? And they see that the child is a chacham and ilui, you know, very talented, but MS, it's a child. He's a child. Child's supposed to learn 24 hours a day. Child's supposed to be on call all that time. It's not a reasonable thing. So let's come now to the third parak.
He's talking about 5-year-olds and teenagers.
Yeah, do you?
5-year-olds are sort of pushed
at this point. Yeah. Everywhere, in the right level, in the right time. So this is what he says. Chinuch is to open up the kochos in a positive way. Dikayom, pressure and, you know, causing depression, that's to quiet the kochos. When a person is depressed, you're not opening up the kochos, you're quieting them down. You're causing them to go to sleep where they're not working at all. So he says, let me show this to you in a gra. Now, yeah, everyone has the gra on their phone, right? So now let me show you to a gra. It's amazing how he pulls this out of the gra initially. It's really, really beautiful. He says, the gra shows us that there are three levels of how one leads towards depression and how to judge this and how to see this before it happens. Mishle Tesvav Yugimel says, Lev Sameach Yetiv Panim Ub'atzvas Lev Ruach Nechaya. If the heart is happy, so then the fate will be good outwardly. And if the heart is sad, so then there'll be depression. Listen to the gra. Lev Sameach. A person who has a happy heart, so then his panim, in amelus, in what he does, so outwardly he'll be a happy face. Says the Gra, ki hishtokukus ha'adam la'asos mitzvah, the desire of a person to do a mitzvah, oshar dvarim or other things, ba, it comes from ruach hashara bo, from the spirit that is in him, as we explained before. Avami shalibo atzav, a person who has sadness in their heart, haruach shalonacha, and his spirit is depressed. Perush, shavura, broken, vikatsar rucho, and his spirit is shortened, v'nafsho katsar b'chol davar, and his nefesh is disgusted by all types of things, v'eina osa klal, and he ends up doing nothing. So he says, we have three steps here. There's two parts here, and then he goes to the steps. The ruach. What's the ruach of the pasuk? The ruach is the koach to want to do things, to want to be active, to want to accomplish. And it causes a person to be pa'il, to be working, to desire to do a mitzvah or other things, or shar dvarim, right? What's a ruach necha? The gra explains here that there are three stages that leads to a depression. What are the three stages that leads to a person shutting down? He says, the Shlav HaRishon is the first one, is sadness. That's what we call of Kotzer Rucho. It's the beginning of the opening of sadness. He doesn't have any patience for things. He's just, he's having any patience for things. He tells people, get away from me. I don't have koach for this. I don't have interest in you. Person becomes very short-tempered. He's just not interested in things. That's the first step. What's the second step? Nafsho katsa. This is more chamor, more issue, more of an issue, where things become disgusting to him. Fech, he writes. It becomes, ugh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to see people. I don't want to, you know, eat this. I don't do anything. He begins just to hate and be interested in all types of pleasures after that. So short temper, then just not interested in people or things and shuts down. And the third level, which what we'll call depression, is he doesn't do anything, right? The Gruss says, Eina osa klal. At this point, he's in his room. He's looking at the ceiling. He doesn't do anything. And he's a place, reaches a place of choser pa'alos, right? So look at the Gruss says it out. Kotzer ruach, nafsho katze b'chol davar, ve'eino osa klal. Those are the three stages. He short-tempered, begins not to be interested in life around him, and then he leads to a place of eino osa klal. And those are the steps, he says. This is the approach. A person begins with by lack of patience. He then just begins to be disgusted by everything, and then he's a case of matzav shel choser pa'alos, where he's not interested in being a human being and acting and being active in the world. And he says, not everyone gets to the last stage, and there's different, you know, ways these things work, but many people get stuck on the first and the second stage, where they're just not interested in life, and they're interested in talking to people, and they're not interested in going out, because they've built themselves up to that point. And he says, this expresses themselves in three areas. One is expresses in machshava, that a person has a block, and they are not able to get past that mental block. It can express themselves in speech, where they don't talk with people and they're interested in having conversations, and can express themselves in maisa, in actions, where they mamish do not do anything and they become depressed sitting by themselves and they become inactive. Goes on to, we're going to skip the box over here. Well, I mean, only one of you have the box, but we're going to skip the box over there. We're going to skip the box that talks about different aspects of depression, how a person shuts down. We're not so much about chinuch. It's like a side point. Maybe another time we'll come back to it. And then he continues over here, and he says that therefore, when we ask of a child to do things that are beyond their kochos, and we make them scared, and we make them feel guilty about wasting their time or not accomplishing enough or about their grades, so we break them, and we open on them this natia of depression. Not that they become depressed, but they're just not interested in work, not interested in being active. They've given up. They've reached a place of choser pi'ilus, of not interested in being active anymore. And he goes back to the sod hachinuch. In order to take a person's actions and to guide their energy in a purposeful way, which again is the definition of chinuch according to Rabbi Hoffman. And therefore he says, when you have excessive demands, we essentially are closing up them and cutting them off from being active. He tells a story over here. One time he tells a story about a person who had an issue like this and how he solved it. But let's move on now. Let's go back to the Gra again. He's now going to analyze that same Gra you have in front of you. He's going to analyze it with a different twist now. So he says, look at the Gra in this pasuk. He explains to us all these things. He says, Mi shalibo sameach ba'amalo yitav panim shalo. So what does that mean? Lev sameach yitav panim. A person whose heart is happy in his amelus, meaning amalo, that a person pushes themselves, which is, you know, the pinnacle of a person, to get to a place where their heart rejoices in their work. This simcha, he says, comes from amelus. A person is working, a person is active, a person is doing. When a child is doing and they feel accomplished and they're pushing themselves to their maximum, not to your maximum, they're pushing themselves to do their best, that gives them simcha. But atzvas lev ruach nacha, if the heart is sad and the spirit feels broken and short-tempered or not interested or disgusted, so then ein osa klum, it doesn't do anything. And the spirit is not working. The spirit is interested in doing mitzos or shar dvam, other things. And on the other hand, a person is not doing things, they become ein osa klal. And therefore we have two levels, he says. The pinnacle of activity is sameach ba'amalo. If you want to reach pinnacle activity, you have to have a geshmak in pushing yourself. That will get the most out of you. That's the best thing for a person, to enjoy what they're doing, to have a geschmack in working hard and really sweating something out. That's going to get the most out of them. And the pinnacle of passivity is in osa klal, where I'm not going to do anything. And obviously, those are two extremes, and the levels are going to fall somewhere in between there. And he says, the points out how the Grub points, that makes this, you know, relevant, and he quotes a Rambam as well, about the importance of working on oneself. And he says that the Grub, by the way, we will read this box, the Grub always highlights positivity. And he says, if I'm not mevater, if I'm mevater on something, and I don't see that such a big loss, and I'm happy for other people to, you know, to do something, so I say I'm a gibor, I'm a big tzaddik, and when I ask of a child, and I ask of him to work harder, to accomplish, and to give up on what's interesting to him, so that's going to be a problem. And therefore he says, for a child, we want to open up the child to give him the geschmack, to get what's going to be interesting to him, to get him interested and excited in these things, and to, you know, if he's able to do this, he'll be much more successful. And he says, the Gra always highlights that the Ikar Hanhaga is Yegia, a Melis, or Ma'amat's effort. When a person is pushed to put their best Yegia into something, it will open up all of the doors for them. It'll give them Simcha, it will give them happiness, give them accomplishments, all of these things that we want. And he says, let me give you an example. What gives a person more Hana? From learning a shtickle, from Rav Chaim on a sugya, or giving a chabura, or giving a dvar Torah, or giving a shir that you prepared? What's a better geshmak? To give your own shir, give your own chabura, or to learn somebody else's shir, somebody else's sefer? The answer is obviously to give your own chabura, to give your own shir. Why is that? Because you were misameitz. You put in effort. You pushed. You did something. You were more active. You weren't just passive. And that gives the person the greatest simcha. And this is what the Gra is saying, that ma shenosin la'adam hana zeh ha'mamas. So what gives a person hana is putting effort. And that gives hatzlacha, that you accomplish something and you push yourself more and more and more in your own avoda. And therefore he says, it's kedai to open up for children a hana in a geshmak. I heard this from Ravan Lopiansky a couple months ago as well. He says, we need to train ourselves and our children that we should have it's geshmak to work. It's a geschmack to sweat through something, to push on something, and to really put our efforts into it. And it will allow them to continue to grow and to accomplish more and to go at more levels, to reach that level of amalo, as the Gra was saying. He says that parents are sometimes afraid to give a little bit of work to the child. And sheyesh horim shemafchidim ligrom liyald ma'amatz, because and then what happens is the child never wants to work. The child never has to clean up his room. The child never has to, you know, do anything at all. Never has to work in anything. And therefore, the child never gets in that mode. Obviously, this is a balance between not being too demanding, but also giving the kid a geschmack in that work as well. Okay. It says here in the parentheses that all of these yisodos that come from the Gra, there's much more to say about them. And he says the Gra really opens up these things in a beautiful way. So he says, in summary, a person is born with a yetzer shedochef, with a yetzer that wants to do. It wants sipuk, it wants geshmak, it wants something. Now, naturally, a person can be a wild animal, and there's no restraint, they can do whatever they want. And a person can get a hana, can get a primitive hana, where he just does whatever he wants. But we can take that primitive hana, and we can train our children to have a geshmak in a positive way. But what happens is when we guide the child, we route the child, we move it in the right way, he's able to accomplish a lot of things. He says, Kishu nenem Rabbi Kiveger. He says, a person could get a geshmak from Rabbi Kiveger, could be, Mirsa Shem, by all of our children, they should get geshmaks from Rabbi Kivegers. But he says, Chodome, Hu yehna mizah harba yosir mehanat to the is mikarishal yitzer. He says, when you give a child a geshmak and a mitzvah, a geshmak and avodas Hashem, it will go much further in anything else that they could accomplish. And we open up for them these options for them and their hana and their avodas Hashem. Okay.
I feel like it's back and forth. It's like you said, it's this balance. It's like you said, it's
saying, don't push them, but then yes. Give them this hana, but it's, if it was that simple.
What I think he's saying is that if you see a child begin to shut down, we need to check and make sure, are we being too burdensome on the child? The thing is to give them work, to give a child work, when you see them having a geshmak.
We don't do that. We say, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
This is the homework. We don't say, okay, let's figure out what each kid wants. We don't really do that practically.
Okay, so we
work
through
it. We Gemara, and it's like, so, you know, we're like...
And I would say the issue is probably so push more.
So in other words, there should be no tests on learning tomorrow.
No. So again, I am not. I have no problem saying this. I'm pro test. I'm pro test. I don't. Tests are not a bad thing. Tests. It depends how you use the test and what you do with the test. If the test is a cudgel to like beat a child to make sure that they do what they have to do. So then I hear, you know, that's problematic. But if the test is a way for a child to feel accomplished, and the teacher uses the test as a way to say, you know, you're working hard, you're learning, now let's show what you know. Let's bring out the potential inside, and let's manifest all those things, and let you feel good about yourself. Not to catch the child and say, oh, see, you weren't studying, a 30, I put you in your place. That's not good for anyone. The teacher knows the kid doesn't know it, and the kid doesn't know he knows it. So what did we accomplish there? The test is a tool to bring out a geschmack in learning because it feels accomplished. Look, I showed you what I know. I showed you what I accomplished, and the kid feels good about themselves. That is what tests can be. Every other thing in life that's important, you take a test for. I assume you all passed your driver's test, and I assume, no? Yeah? I assume you all passed your driver's test, and if you... And I assume you all, and if a person becomes a doctor, they take a test. And you become a lawyer, you take a test. And you, whatever it is, when a person gets smicha, you take a test. If it's important, you take a test because it shows that it's chashev and you value the effort and the time you put in. The issue is on the teacher to know what is the test for. Are you taking a test to show you're taking a test so you have a grade? Or using the test as a tool in order to for the child to feel that they've accomplished something, they feel good about themselves? I'm saying, even though this is recorded, I play around with my students' tests all the time. If I think a student needs a little bit more, and then we'll find extra points. Well, I'm not just giving out random extra 10 points for no good. But I'm saying, you know, we'll find more points. We'll ask the question again so they should feel that they're accomplishing something in their learning. That is the goal of the test. I'm a big advocate of tests because if they're done right, they can make a child feel good about themselves and they can feel accomplished and show that they know the material. Okay. So he says, again, this is often a conversation we have in school with students who graduate and things like that. They'll say, you know, it should be l'shma, no tests. So my response is, it is l'shma. It's up to you for it to be l'shma. The test is a side point. The test is something that's there to show and to know you're learning. If you want it to be l'shma, it's not up to me to want to be l'shma. It's up to you if you want it to be l'shma. Do you want to come to class and learn Dvar Hashem and know halacha and whatever is learning because you want it? Okay, there's a grade and there's a test. But that the l'shma is not, whether there's a test or not doesn't make it l'shma. That's not the indicator whether something is l'shma or not. L'shma shabo is what you feel about it. Do you want to come and learn it? And yes, maybe it'll be a test here or there, whatever it is. But the l'shma is not up because of the test. L'shma is up to you and how you approach the class.
It's interesting you bring up l'shma because we discussed this before. It's the mentions l'shma means to enjoy it.
Yeah. The I'm saying Ruchan, what? The Ruchan.
No, but then is that in the Zakdama? I forget what it's like. Anyway, yeah. L'shma, that's what it should really be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to test or not.
Oh, the Igle Tal. Yeah. The Igle Tal.
Yeah. Right. So in other words, if the kids enjoy it, it doesn't matter if it's a test or not. The point is to get them to have a geshmak. That's what he's saying.
Exactly.
So whether it's a test or not, if there's no geshmak.
Exactly. It's the test is not the problem.
Right.
The test is not the problem.
Didn't he say in the introduction to this also? That
what?
To find something that the kid...
Yes, like the piano, whatever, something like that. So, right. Exactly. There's something out there.
So, I think I asked when we started this, how accepted was he? Because it seems mostly she would think, like,
in Eretz Yisrael,
too progressive for us.
In Eretz Yisrael, from what I understand, very accepted. Mm-hmm. Very accepted. I don't know.
Even though you would think that Israeli, she was like, from what people tell me, there's a few kinds, and the kind that's like the one that people want to go to on the film world is extremely demanding and not caring about like
I'm not sure.
Feel
about it, I'm not
sure. It sounds like his Mahalach and Chinuch is very much like child centric in the sense that the child is guiding wherever they're gonna end up.
Correct.
Right. But like it does lead to then I guess the possibility the child ends up somewhere that maybe the parents don't want them.
It's true. You close your high school, you do your parents.
I do.
I think it's within borders. Meaning,
I don't think
child
centric. Someone said the parents control everything. I don't know any person who went to a high school that's normal that their parents forced them to go to and they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. May not be given the choice. Most people have been given the choice. At that point in time, parents trust the children.
I don't think child centric means that. You give a child a wild horse and tell him to like go have a good time. Child centered means there's obviously borders around it. It's not Hefker. He's not advocating that the kid wants to do whatever he wants and therefore like have a great time and here's all the money you need to spend on and go to town. They're obviously within borders. I think he's instructing us and he's teaching us that kochos hanefesh and when it comes to avodas Hashem, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to learning, the way to do it is to teach a child there's a geschmack in pushing oneself. Of course there's going to be options. Child is more interested in this type of learning, that's how we learn, things like that. But I don't think he's advocating for hefkeris, where every child does whatever they want. The question is, the parents, how are you going to open up those values that you know to be important? How are you going to open up those values to your child in a positive way, that they're going to want to latch onto it? So he says here, let's just wrap up over here. So he says, Zos Ameris, this tells us about the Sod HaChinuch, that a person naturally wants to be at. This is a secret. A person wants to be active and use their energy. And if he's not being active, so then it's unnatural, right? That's the first point. And if a person is sad, or a person is depressed, a person is not going to be working, it's the opposite of the way he's supposed to be. And chinuch is to take the energy of a child and to put it in a situation and in a maskeres, and put it in a design where he's not just stom jumping, and he's not just stom scribbling, but rather you teach him. You take this energy and say, use your energy, use your kochos in a positive way, in a thoughtful, meaningful way. But if you're always telling the child, be quiet, don't move, don't speak, don't scribble, then you're going to take away everything from him. And that's not chinuch. that's not chinuch. Chinuch is about what you should do, not about what you shouldn't do. And this is the Sod HaChinuch, to know how, on one hand, not to go, to make him go crazy. You should have a kid who's crazy and nuts and does whatever he wants. And on the other hand, not to quiet the child. And that is the struggle, which I think we've all touched upon here at the last few minutes. The struggle of Chinuch is how to make a kid not be nuts and be a wild animal, and also not shut them down, and to be somewhere in that perfect place in the middle. And with all of the energy and all of the guidance and all of these things, all of these miskeres, in order to do it in a positive and a constructive way. And he says, "Be'ikar," to guide and to route the natural kochos towards a tachlis, towards a purposeful thing. And in this way, the natural part of the child will come out, and the negative things will not be interesting. And he says, "No, it's true. Yetzer lev adam ra min urav. A person has a yetzer hara, and we take and we route that ratzon in a positive way, and he gets a hana, he gets a sipuk, he gets a geschmack and positive things in Torah mitzvos, and in a place where it could be schok and it could be silliness, we build up a hana in positive, nice things." He quotes here Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. I don't know where this Rabbeinu Yonah is, but he says Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Pirkei Avos that it says that the pasuk says, "V'nasati lefanecha sachaim v'yasamaves u'becharte b'chaim." I tried looking it up. I couldn't find it. It says, "Ubecharta b'chaim," right? I put before you life and death, and you choose life. So he asks, how come it says bechir is only by chayim? Why doesn't it say ubecharta bein hachayim lavas? We should say, and you choose between the life over the death. Why is it just that you choose life? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, apparently says that when it comes to ra, you don't need bechira, because a person has a yetzer hara to choose bad. Meaning, I don't need to tell you to do the bad thing, because your Yetzer Hara is naturally going to do it. What you need to do is to choose to not do the wrong thing. You need to be given positive things, positive outlets, positive energy in order to manifest properly. And he says, in Kabbalah, there are three words, Yotzer, Yetzer, and Yetzira. Yotzer, Ra'es HaKol, Ki Yetzer, Lev HaAdam, Ramanu Rav, and V'Yitzar HaShem, Es HaAdam. And he says these three things all have the same shoresh, that in its simple understanding, and they all connect to one another, that Ata Yachol Im HaYetzer LaHashir Per Adam. If you just have a Yetzer, you'll be a wild animal. But you were able, Yitzur Im HaYetzer Yitzira. You're able to create with your Yetzer a beautiful picture. And they all are the same thing together. And this is the sod of Torah Mitzvos. This is the foundation of Torah Mitzvos. And on one hand, again, giving a person, you know, not to become a wild animal. On the other hand, not to quiet the person and to quiet their kochos so that they can't act in a healthy way, in a productive way. Okay.